Welcome to the Destiny Church 217 podcast. Today we're hearing from Pastor Eric Hansen, Senior Leader of Destiny Church. In this Easter message, Pastor Eric shares about the resurrection of Jesus from the perspective of someone we wouldn't expect. Following the message, take a look at the episode description where you can find scripture references as well as helpful links to learn more about the ministry of Destiny Church.
Been a lot of amazing things. Wonderful events that have happened, noteworthy events that have happened throughout history. If we go back 6,000 years, we have the beginning of the agricultural revolution, where we started planting things and harvesting things, not just out jumping out from behind a rock and killing things, but we started planting things. And then you have the building of the Great Pyramids about 4,000 years ago. That was at the time of 1500 BC would be a time of Moses. 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire began with Caesar Augustus, and then Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, who unfortunately had to suffer through the burning of Rome because of all the tax, being taxed to death in Rome, and the place burned, and he needed somebody to blame, so he blamed the Christians. We're pretty easy pickings, you know. And so we were brought into the arena and set afire and eaten by lions. And so Rome, the Roman Empire, ran the world for about the first 1,400 years, until about 1450, until Constantinople fell in 1453. And if you know history at all, you know that, wait a second, that's Gutenberg Press was invented right around there, 1450. Constantinople fall, 1453. And so you have the first printing press, 1450, Johannes Gutenberg. Now, in light of major events, this was considered the event of the millennia, at the turn of the millennia. And it doesn't seem like it, but we've only had printed books for 600 years. And then we had the Industrial Revolution. This happened when the production line, mass assembly, Mr. Ford, Model T. T stands for touring, by the way. It was the touring model in 1908. And that's where we said, okay, you put this widget on, you put that widget on, you put that widget on, we'll just run this thing through us. And all of a sudden, we became mechanized, and the assembly line was born in the Industrial Revolution. Some of you have lived and were around in 1958 when Jack Kirby made the first microchip. Didn't that change things? 1958. How many of you have any kind of digital watch on your, any kind of digital watch on your wrist at all? You have more power on your wrist than was used to send a man to the moon in the 60s. It has been a tremendous blessing, and some would say a curse, the Industrial Revolution to the Digital Revolution. But the greatest event of all of history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Bar none, that is the best. And today is Easter Sunday. It's the greatest event in all of history. I like bunnies. I like eggs, but a bunny didn't die for you. Right? Those things speak of new birth and new beginnings, and that's fun. We have an Easter egg hunt planned at my house for the kids after church today. But the main thing is the main thing, and that is Jesus is alive. We gather today because the tomb is empty. The greatest event in all of history. We gather to celebrate his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, dead, buried, but on the third day he rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father, who will come again to judge the living and the dead. So this morning, rather than read to you a familiar portion of scripture and just kind of wax eloquent about what Easter is, I thought perhaps we would look at the events of that day through a certain person's perspective. A different set of glasses, as Joey would tell us last week. So this morning we're going to relive these events through a woman, through a woman named Mary. Not Mary of Mary and Joseph, not Mary of Mary and Martha, but Mary from a town called Magdala. And I have a little map to show you. And you'll see the Sea of Galilee. I have a little white arrow pointing to Jesus' hometown of ministry at Capernaum or Capernaum. But then there's a little red star. You may not be able to see it. Yes, a little bit there on the, that would be the west side of the Sea of Galilee. That's a little town called Magdala. But she went by Mary Magdalene, because if you were from Magdala, you were a Magdalene, like you're an Illinoisan, a Springfieldian. You're a Magdalene. She was Mary from Magdala. That's where she was from. She's mentioned 12 times in the gospel. And let's get a timeline of her events real quick. She was born in Magdala. Tradition says that she was a prostitute. So let's get her backstory. And let's begin with the letter D. She had a major deliverance, an encounter with Jesus from demons. Early in Jesus' ministry, in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, it says this, "And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, who from whom seven demons had been cast out." Yes, Jesus cast out demons. So she's from Magdala, she had seven demons. Jesus still delivers people from demonic activity. Do you know that? That demons are still real. And that demonic power can still monkey with people and cause people to make really bad decisions, hurt themselves, hurt other people. She had seven demons. That's what the text says. We clearly see she had seven demons, but not after she met Jesus. After she met Jesus, the demons had to go. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. When your room is dark in your house and you walk in and you turn on the light, what happens to the darkness? It flees. It has to go away. In that realm, light is stronger than darkness. Always. This little light of mine. Jesus walked in the room and the demons fled. He is the light of the world, John 8:12. So because of her deliverance, what happened? Let's move on. There seemed to be a devotion that occurred in her life. Mary and Martha, and Mary, the other Mary, not the Mary and Martha, not the Mary of Mary and Martha where Lazarus is concerned. Let me set a scene for you. We're talking about Mary Magdalene, but I want to tell you something about the other Mary, of Mary and Martha. The night before Jesus rode on the back of the donkey for Palm Sunday, that Saturday night, the night before that night, Jesus was the premier celebrant at a party thrown by Mary and Martha. That Mary, not Mary Magdalene, but the other Mary, Mary of Mary and Martha. Am I clear? Or is this clear as mud? Are you okay? We don't have to do this, you know. This is a little fun thing. So Jesus was at the party. He was the one being honored at the party before he rode in to Jerusalem at Mary and Martha's house. And here's how the story unfolds. 6 days before the Passover, this is John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. Bethany's just a little town right outside of Jerusalem. You can nearly see the Eastern Gate from there. That's how close it is. Where Lazarus lived. Oh, we know Lazarus, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. That Lazarus. He's the brother of Mary and Martha, the three of them. Here at a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. Surprise, surprise. You know the story of Mary and Martha? Are you with me?
Yes.
You know the story of Mary and Martha,
yes.
Right? Mary sat at his feet. Martha was the one that served. Jesus rebuked her for that, said, it's better to sit here. Well, now here comes another party a year later, and what's Martha doing? She's back up serving again. So the dinner was held, and Martha served, while Lazarus, wait a second, he was dead just a chapter ago. Now he's at the party. This is another time when Lazarus appears after his resurrection. All right? So here's the dinner while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary, we love Mary. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary of Mary and Martha. She took about a pint, 16 ounces, of pure nard. It's an oil, expensive perfume. We know it to be about the value of one annual salary. What do you earn in a year? What do you earn in a year? Translate that into a fine oil that's equal that value when it's in this jar. An entire year's salary is in the jar. Expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet. She wiped his feet with her hair. And the house is filled with fragrance of perfume. This is in preparation for his burial. It's just a week away. Mary Magdalene was in the mix. I don't know if she was at that party, but here's what happens. Her devotion we see from the account of this in Luke chapter 7. I'll read it to you. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. This really evil, wicked man invited Jesus to his house for dinner, and Jesus went because he hung out with sinners. And when a woman, this is Mary Magdalene now, who had lived a sinful life in that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, what did she do? She brought an alabaster jar. Alabaster is like marble. And she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed his feet, and poured that perfume on them. Then the religious Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this. I love this. It says, he said to himself. So what's he doing? He's thinking. He said to himself, quote, if this man were a prophet, he would know the kind of woman that's touching him, what kind of woman that she is. She's a sinner. Verse 40, next verse. Jesus answered him. What is he saying? He only thought that. So Jesus turns and looks at him and says, let me answer your thought. I love that about him. Simon, I have something to tell you. Well, tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owned money to a certain moneylender. One of them owned $500, the other just 50. Neither of them had the money to pay back, so he canceled the debt on both of them. Tell me, which of them will love him more? Simon, the Pharisee replied, oh, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus says, you have judged correctly. Then he turned toward the woman, Mary, our superstar of the morning, right behind Jesus, and said to Simon, do you see this woman? She came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who has been forgiven little loves little. This was a woman of great devotion. She's moving now towards being a disciple. She had her deliverance. We see her great devotion. And now she's moving into discipleship. Devotion, which is her great offering, doesn't mean necessarily she's following Jesus. She got delivered. She said, wow, I'm going to give an offering. I'm gonna bring an entire year's salary, extravagant offering. Doesn't necessarily mean she's a disciple. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, guests and visitors. Just because you got healed or you got delivered and then you gave an offering doesn't stop there. There's something more. That's the life of discipleship. That's the life of apprenticeship. That's the life of following Jesus around, learning what he does, seeing what he does. Imitating what he does if you're an apprentice. He's showing you the way. He's giving you the truth, for he's truly the life. And so, she gave her oil, but was she really a disciple? Was she truly an apprentice? Well, we'll find out, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Was it fight or flight for her? Let's see. Her discipleship. She became a true disciple, I believe. She truly followed Jesus. She did? She followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Watch this. This is in Matthew 27. And when Jesus has cried out again, he's on the cross in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, a certain temple, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. These are all sermons in themselves. I don't have time to unpack all of these. But the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open. Bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him regarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, way up where Mary Magdalene lived on the Sea of Galilee. They'd followed him all the way down to Jerusalem. And there among them, verse 56, was Mary Magdalene. How do I know she had a disciple? Because she had staying power. She got her deliverance. She demonstrated her devotion, and she became a true disciple. What's the evidence? Because she was at the cross. There's an old plantation hymn. They call them a Negro spirituals back in the day, and right after the Civil War, and a very popular one. The author is unknown. It goes like this: "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And it goes on, "Were you there when they crucified, when they nailed him to a tree, when they pierced him in his side, when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in a tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead?" She was. Mary Magdalene was. That's how I know she was a disciple. And her deliverance from demons, her devotion through her extravagant giving, the discipleship that brought her to the foot of the cross resulted in something amazing, a discovery. The greatest discovery in all of history, which leads us to today. Her discovery was that of the empty tomb. Now, this is what we know. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Jesus was crucified, put in the tomb. Sunday, Monday. So, well, that wasn't a full day. That wasn't a full day. How is it 3 days? Just take a breath. Any portion of a day in Jewish tradition is considered a day. So there's 3 days. Friday, he had to get in the grave before 6 p.m. when the Shabbat, when Sabbath began on Saturday. So that was all day Saturday. The days begin at 6 p.m. So now we roll around to the next day. It's Saturday. The day ends on Saturday at 6 p.m. It's a lot of words. Did you catch it? It's now 6 p.m. Saturday night. Mary goes and gets the spice. The reason she gets them late at night on Saturday is because you can't buy anything on Shabbat. You can't buy anything on Saturday. So she waits until 5:59, boom, 6 p.m. And actually, it's a different time every day. Here's a little side note. Actually, the day begins when it's dark enough to see the first star. So it could be 5:58, it could be 5:59. It changes, but nonetheless, the day begins when you see the first star of twilight. That's the starting time. So then, boom, Sabbath is over. Now we can buy and sell and trade. Mary beelines into the market. Mary Magdalene beelines into the market. She gets all the spices she needs. It's dark now. She's gonna go in the morning, early in the morning, tomorrow morning. Here it is. When she got there, she saw that the stone had been moved in John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, this would be now Sunday for us. This is why we worship on Sunday. Early on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went out to the tomb and she saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. Imagine, she walks up. She knows where it's at. The stone is not there. It's been rolled away. And by the way, don't think of a boulder. Think more of a disc of stone in front of a cave. And there's a track that this stone rolls in front of the cave. I've been there. I've seen them. Maybe not the particular one. There are two places in particular. I think this is the place. And I've been to both. And so she saw it's been opened. What does she do? She said, I got to go tell John and Peter. Verse 2. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. And we know the other disciple is John because this is in the Gospel of John. John never names himself. He only calls himself the beloved and the other disciple. He never says his own name. And so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, because I wrote it. John wrote it. It's the one Jesus loved. I just think that's wonderful. John, and said this. She says this. Mary Magdalene says this to the boys. They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him. Okay, so now what happens? Verse 3. Peter and John, the other disciples, started running to the tomb, of course. They were both running. John outran Peter. I think it's important to note that John tells everybody, I can run faster than Peter. I think that's kind of fun. He outran Peter. He got to the tomb first. Here's John, a little more timid than Peter. Peter runs up. He's out of breath. John's just kind of standing looking in. Peter's like, get out of the way. Peter attitude, Peter personality, move. So both were running. He reached the tomb first. Verse 5, he, John, bent over, looked at the strips of linen laying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, finally arrived. He went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen laying there. On the Day of Atonement, just pause for a second. On the Day of Atonement, this is 2,000 years before, this is Old Testament tabernacle worship with Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. When they would go in on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, he would have his linen ephod and then have all the accoutrement. He would go in, he would make the sacrifice for all of Israel. But before he came out, he took off that linen ephod and he left it there where the sacrifice was made before he got dressed in his normal clothes and came back out. When John and Peter saw this and they saw, wait a second, here's the linen ephod of he who is the high priest. It's left behind. I don't understand that. And then the next verse is super cool because it says, and the burial cloth that was around Jesus' head, the cloth was folded up by itself separate from the other linen. And what's significant about that? Well, we're not so much into, what's the Emily Post? Is that the woman that wrote the book on how to do everything right? Do we even know her anymore, right? The etiquette, manners, and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know if do we even practice that stuff much anymore. But there's etiquette and there are manners during Jesus' time. So now you have servants who are serving you. You're eating, you're reclining at the table. And now you say, oh, excuse me, I need to go to the restroom. I need to get something else. I need to go. I'm going to come back in a minute. When you got up from the dinner table, you would take your napkin and you would fold it neatly, like it was when you got there, and you would set it there where your plate was. That's a sign, etiquette, that's a sign to the servants, don't touch my stuff, I'm coming back. Now, if I get up and I'm done, what do we do with the napkin? Right? Wipe our face, wipe our beard, da-da-da, and what do? We just kind of do with our napkin. Just kind of toss it there on the plate, right there on the table. That's a sign to the servant saying, what? I'm done. I'm not coming back. Jesus folded his napkin, laid it right there as a sign saying, well, I guess I'm going to come back. I'm coming back. All signs for us to understand. Verse 8, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, that's John, he also decided he was going to go in, and he saw and he believed. He wasn't quite sure. Listen, he didn't even know what he believed. Watch. Verse 9, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They knew he wasn't there, but they didn't know where he was. What did they do? Verse 10, the disciples went back to where they were staying. They didn't go to the streets. They didn't say he's alive. They didn't do any of that. They were still trying to figure it out. Okay, Mary, thanks for telling us that somebody took him or what. I don't know. We're going to go back. Everybody left. But Mary didn't leave. She stayed there. Here comes the discovery, verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb finally. And when she did, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. One was up at the head, one was at the feet. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Well, they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. Do you know that you can encounter God and not even know that you've done it? Right now, some of you, you don't realize that you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're in the presence of the Lord right now, and you don't even realize it. He's here, right here amongst us. She didn't realize it. Verse 15, "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Well, sir, if they've carried him away, please tell me where you have put him, and I'll go get him." And then, verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." Were you there when he called your name? Do you remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus? What did he say? He said your name. I live to hear him tell me my name. Just hear my name. Ryan. That's all you need. You don't need any more than that. Devin. At that point, you're not looking for prophecies. He just said your name. Aaron. That's all you needed. That's all you needed. Aaron, what? Just your name. Does he know me? I know he holds the whole world and the tiny little baby, but does he know me? Ray. That's all you need to hear, your name. And he's calling your name today. Do you hear it? You've been looking. You may be in his presence, don't realize it, but if you just quiet your heart, you'll hear him whisper your name. He said, "Mary." At that, she turned toward him and cried out in her native Aramaic language, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me." So now here's this woman who is accustomed to kissing his feet and drying his feet with her hair and pouring on the oil. I'm sure she's just grabbing on to him. This, by the way, is evidence of a physical resurrection, not a spiritual resurrection, which is a heresy. Jesus rose physically. Our Jehovah's Witness heretics don't believe that Jesus rose. He only rose spiritually, but he had a physical resurrection. So he says, "Don't hang on to me. I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead and tell those boys who left. Go tell them I'm returning to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." That's amazing. Now, come with me on the journey. The morning is unfolded. She's experienced all of this. She went and told Peter and John. They came. They looked nothing. They left. She's like, "Man, I don't know what's going on." She's upset. She's distraught. She's, "I'm going to go look for myself." She goes over and looks. She sees the angels. There's this communication. Where did they put him? I got to know. I find it interesting she wasn't so stunned about the angels. She's like, where is he? Where is he? She's talking to angels. She says, "I don't care who you are. Just tell me where you put him." And then all of a sudden she turns around. And there she has this brief conversation with Jesus. Then he says her name, and she realizes that he truly is everything he said he was, that death, hell, and the grave could not hold him, and she's the only one who knows right there. No one else in the entire world knows. Except this formerly demon-possessed prostitute. Ooh. Gosh.
who he revealed himself to.
Jesus forgave her, accepted her. She was delivered. She was saved. She gave her extravagant offering. She became a devoted disciple. And because of that, she had a discovery. See, genuine salvation, let me just tell you this. The genuine salvation, let's say it nice and slow so we're all paying attention. Genuine salvation produces discipleship. Don't tell me you're a disciple. Don't tell me you're really saved and you're not a disciple. He called your name. Toe the line. Go to the cross. And you could potentially have a discovery of your own. See, we've been building an equation here. Deliverance plus devotion equals discipleship. You've been saved. You've been delivered. It's okay. I'm going to give my offerings. I'm going to give my extravagant offering. Is that it? No. No, I need to go more than Christmas and Easter. I should actually be a disciple. That's the equation we're building. She followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Matthew 16, then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life is going to lose it. But whoever will lose his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What can he give in exchange? The result was a discovery. She became the first evangelist. So, Lord, I'll say it. If you're of a denominational persuasion where you don't think women should tell men something occasionally or teach them or share the gospel once in a while, you got a big problem with Mary. You got to tear out a couple pages of your KJV. Okay, that was enough of that, I guess. I could stay there and dance for a while, but I won't. So she was the first evangelist. But you know what? You know what the Catholics call her? They call her the apostle to the apostles. And she said, I'm going to go tell the apostles. So she's just an evangelist. She's like regular people like you and me. She went to the head of the church and told them. She went to the pastors. She went to the elders. She went to the leaders. Well, women can only teach Sunday school. No. She was the apostle to the apostles. And she discovered she was the only one at that moment that Jesus was the way, that Jesus was the truth, and Jesus was the life. She discovered that he was alive. Death does not have the final say. We are here today with a resurrecting hope. On this day, Resurrection Day, I would like to resurrect some hope in you, perhaps. Time for you to discover or rediscover the resurrected Christ. You can trust him. You can love him. You can follow him. You can certainly be set free, delivered. You can find a place of devotion and give the offerings, but I'm encouraging you to become a disciple, to be a follower, a true follower, a disciple, an apprentice who follows him day in and day out. You're going to screw it up. Trust me. I do it all the time. But you know what you do when you become a disciple? Is he allows you to discover some things. And I'm encouraging you to perhaps lean into the fact that you can trust him, you can love him. But you know, there may be those here today who've been through this process, and I want you to know, even though you used to love him and you used to trust him and you used to follow him, He's still calling you back to be his disciple. And so for us, on this Easter, of all the people whose lenses we could wear, we wore Mary Magdalene. The very first person to know. What did she do with that piece of information? Did she hide it? Or did she share it? The world, let me just have a little moment with regular church people here just for a second. You know, the world wants to beat you up and make you afraid to share your truth, that Jesus is the way. They want to make you sit down and be quiet. And that's just a ploy of the devil. Mary Magdalene had a moment where she could have gone, you know what, if I, do you realize the havoc this will wreak? I might get fired from my job. I might lose some money. My mom may not like me anymore. My boss may persecute me. Listen. It still happens today. You have to make a determination when he whispers your name, Shad. Now you know. You know that you know that you know you heard him on that day. You cannot deny that when he turned and looked at you and said your name. He's saying your name today once again. Will you embrace the reality that he is who he says he is, or will you ignore it? If he is who he says he is, then he should be obeyed. He should be honored and worshiped. If he isn't who he says he is, you should just get rid of him. But he is who he says he is. He is who he says he is. Oh, by the way, I said this is the greatest moment in history up to this point. Because there is another moment in time that is greater than this. And that is when the heavens open and the rider on the white horse comes. Then he's not coming as a baby in a manger. He's coming to judge both the living and the dead. And by then it's too late. You need to make a decision. Well, I'm going to make a decision tomorrow. I'll make a decision next week. Well, that's not how this works. Because watch. Delayed obedience is no obedience at all. So if it's clear from Scripture that he is the way, John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me, that means Islam is not a way, Buddha is not a way, Hinduism is not a way, Shaikhism is not a way, Mormonism is not the way. Jehovah's Witness is not the way. Jesus himself said, I'm it. And this is it. This is all you get. You don't need another testament. This is it. Complete. Well, there's been people in my life that have hurt me, and there's been pastors and my mom, and I was raised and blah, blah. That does not negate the truth that's in here. I don't belittle your life's experience. Well, I was born this way. I totally get that. Perhaps you were born that way. But Jesus says you must be born again. So you have another crack at it. You can be born again. You can have a brand new start. You don't have to be that. Stand with me this morning. I want to pray with you. As Mary Magdalene tells us and shows us through her life, salvation and deliverance are still available to you today. If you're here today and you just cannot wait for me to stop talking and you are irritated to the core and you got to get out of this place, I'm going to submit to you the idea that perhaps there is some activity in the spirit realm around you that wants you out of this place. Because out there is death and destruction. Oh, there's some fun things out there. Oh, there's some tasty morsels out there. The Bible tells us they're sweet in our mouth, but then turn to rocks in our stomach, Proverbs. Sin has its pleasure just for a season. You may be living high on the hog and you got all your cars and your kids and your houses and all of that. And it's just, you got a wonderful life out there. Congratulations. I'm telling you, it could be even more and better. But right now, there's activity in this room. The Holy Spirit, who is light, is coming to your heart and saying, I think what he's talking about is true. By the way, I'm not telling you I have all the answers, because all the answers are in the book, not here. Not at Destiny. Don't follow me and don't follow Destiny. Only follow us as we follow Christ. That's the ticket. That's the ticket. That's the ticket. Because I'm gonna fail you. Every church, every pastor you ever had failed you on some level. You're just gonna have to accept that and get over that. And say, that just wasn't, it wasn't, well, then I'm gonna throw them all out. I just can't go to church. I got no business going to church because, you know, there's all that craziness in there. Well, this is where craziness belongs. We just realize we're crazy. We realize we're broken. We haven't deceived ourselves. Say, I'm gonna worship myself. No, we're gonna worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He delivered Mary Magdalene of 7 demons. He can deliver you. Your drugs, your addiction, your pornography, your greed, your lying, your adultery, your fornication, your perversion. He can set you free from all of that. I'm not judging you in that. I'm just telling you there's an option, and the option is freedom. 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 So, Father, we bow our hearts and our spirits to you this morning, and we say, God, please come in. Deliver us. Set us free. May we be devoted to you. May we become disciples, apprentices of who you are, all the way to the cross. What a wonderful day to be able to turn your life over to Jesus. Without him, you are lost. Without him, you are destined for hell. Without him, there is no hope. Without him, there'll be no peace. Without him, there is no true joy. It's only found in a relationship with Jesus. And the price that he paid for you to have all of that was his blood. And he went to the cross. He suffered and died. He went to hell for 3 days, but he rose again to show to you and to me that he has power over all darkness. And so, if you want to surrender your life to him today for the first time, or maybe the 100th time, or you just want the joy of surrender once again, because there's such a joy in that, just raise your hand with me. Father, here we are. In ourselves, we're broken. In ourselves, we're unable to get to where you called us to be, except for the cross. The cross bridges the chasm between sinful man and a holy God. And so, Lord, we choose to accept you today. We choose to walk with you today. We choose to believe your word. Even though we may not understand it all, we're going to make a decision to follow you, to be a disciple. So we surrender our hearts. We say, you are the Lord of our life. Can you say amen to that? Just right there. You say, amen. I surrender my life to you. You're the Lord of my life. And now, Holy Spirit, come and dwell inside of me. Go ahead, just invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and dwell inside of me. Jesus said, it's good that I'm going, because when I go, I'm going to leave a comforter for you, the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll teach you. An equal person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come now upon your people. Bring them peace. And whisper their name. So we surrender ourselves to you today, Lord. Thank you that we get to celebrate. But we look forward to that day when you come again, when the heavens split, riding on a white horse. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for the discovery of who you are. And now, this moment, may the peace of God rest on your heart. Any demonic activity, I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus, so that you could have peace. You'd sleep better than you've ever slept. You'd find joy in a blue sky and the laugh of a child. You'll see hope in the yellow of a dandelion. You'll see the blue skies and the blue oceans and know that they pale in comparison to how great God is. All because you whispered your name. So, Father, our commitment is to walk with you all the way to the cross, that the discoveries that you have planned for us would bring joy and peace. If you're sick in your body today, God wants to heal you. If your marriage is broken, God wants to restore it. If your children are not serving God, if they're far afield, God wants to bring them home. Father, we thank you that you're able to do all of these things. We give you our lives. We thank you for this day of celebration. We give you all the honor. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a message from Destiny Church in Springfield, Illinois. To learn more about our ministry, visit the episode description, where you can find links to our website, ways to give, and more about who we are. You've been listening to the Destiny Church 217 Podcast, your place for real, relevant relationships.